Yeah, I smoke blunts, I won't even front. Oh, you see my girl? Yeah, she got a dunk. I ain't a soldier boy, don't have no time for toys. The last time I played games, I was playing back in Roy's. Wilson Park and Queens, away from dope fiends. I don't wear no bling, but they're ready to crown me king. Feral Hollywood, yeah, I'm feeling good. You know you should be watching, cause you know you really should.
And we're back to Mako and Miles. This weekend, we just got the deluxe edition of The Gift that came out with the visual album that is called Black is King. I didn't have a chance to see it yet, not because I don't want to, but mostly because I don't have Disney Plus right now. I spent too much money on streaming platforms this month. And I was just like, you know, this will be the only thing I watch on Disney Plus if I get this right now. So I was like, let me wait till the Mandalorian or something come on, then I'll watch it then. You know, I feel crazy about it, though, because every time Beyonce drops a visual album, I see it the day it drops. You know, when Beyonce, the visual album came out, I saw it. Lemonade, saw it. So this is the first time I didn't see it the day that it dropped, and I'm kind of feeling crazy about it. But like I said, I got too many streaming services on right now. I got Peacock, I got Shudder, Quibi, HBO Max, Stars. You know, and I only got Stars because I thought Power, the spinoff Ghost, would start this month, but they pushed it back to September, so that was a waste. And you know, I shouldn't have got me CBS All Access because now they with Viacom, and I told myself I'm not supporting Viacom no more since they're violating my man Nick Cannon. But I'm not going to lie to you guys. I got CBS All Access right now. You know, they got Chappelle Show and stuff up on there. And, you know, I've been trying to catch up with all this Star Trek stuff, you know, trying to, you know, get my geek on. But, you know, it is what it is. I will see it soon, though. It looks lovely. I've seen footage. The only video I've seen so far from the visual album is the song we just heard, Mood Forever. And it looks amazing. You know, the crazy thing about, people give, you know, Beyonce a lot of flack here and there or whatever, you know, to try to find her flaws. Man, I just want to just appreciate the visuals that we're getting from this visual album. Like, I would love to see Beyonce direct something that's not a visual album or a music video. I would love to see what she would do with a full-length music video. A full-length musical. You know, like a whole narrative, 90 minutes straight or 2 hours. And it's, you know, not music videos, but a full-length musical. Or, you know, a full-length movie. You know, I'm curious to see Beyonce's eye as a director. I'm appreciating the work that she's putting out, and I would love to see more of it. Matter of fact, why isn't she directing Coming to America 2? She should have been the one directing Coming to America 2, seeing all this. Matter of fact, I need to just get her Black Panther to direct, because this I'm getting Wakanda vibes from this, y'all. I'm getting Wakanda vibes, you know. And now, while we're still on the subject of Black excellence, you know, one of the streaming platforms I do have that's on right now is Netflix, but that's mostly because, you know, I got T-Mobile. T-Mobile pays for it. But, well, technically I pay for it because it's in my bill. What I was getting ready to say, you know, all the classic shows, you know, because Netflix got the whole strong Black lead thing, so they were like, hey, Black folks, we hear you, we paid attention. So, you know, they're giving us Moesha, which dropped on August 1st. The Game, I think it's from season 1 to season 3, will be starting August 15th. Sister, September 1st, you know, and I'm tight because I'm like, damn, I got to wait till September for Sister. All right, you know what? I do need to keep the end of the summer productive, so fine, I'll wait till September. Girlfriend, September 11th, The Parkers, October 1st, Half and Half, October 15th, and One-on-One, October 15th. I'm excited for a lot of these shows, you know, because for a long time, I'm like, yo, where are all these Black sitcoms that we grew up with? There were so many great Black shows from like the late 90s to the early 2000s, and then somewhere after like Eve and I want to say the Flavor Flav show, somewhere after them, and I'm not talking about Flavor of Love, I'm talking about the Flavor Flav sitcom that used to be on UPN. Somewhere after all of that, the Black show just disappeared. They was like, nah, yeah, Black folks had it. Yeah, y'all should be happy with what you got. We got reruns of Steve Harvey playing. You should be happy. And we haven't had great Black sitcoms until maybe, what, Blackish? And that's not a traditional Black sitcom. It's a good show. I haven't caught up to the recent seasons, but, you know, I enjoyed the first season or so. You know, but thank God for Netflix that they're doing this, you know, because for a long time, I've been looking at all these Black platforms. I'm like, you guys are not, what happened? Y'all can't get the rights to this stuff? You can't afford the rights? What is it? Who do I gotta call? Who do I gotta pay for have these shows on the platform? So thank God for Netflix for putting on the platform now. Now, you know, Netflix don't own the rights to these shows. So eventually, these shows will disappear once more. And then we gotta figure out, all right, what app is it going to next? Will it go to HBO Max? Will it go to Peacock? You know, but until we get there, I guess we get to enjoy it for while we can on Netflix. You know, we don't have the same show. Like, Black culture to me is not the same like I grew up with. Now it just feels so manufactured. It just feels like it's all about controversy to make sales, especially since music ain't really based about, you know, selling stuff. Well, now music is all about marketing. Music is now a marketing tool. It's not really the thing you use to, you know, to make the money now. Now it's all about the live shows, the merchandising, you know, maybe getting your music played in commercials and TV shows and movies. You know, people aren't making millions of music anymore. That's just not happening anymore, you know. And it's sad because, you know, it's just like now you got to rely on controversy to, you know, even be in the media, you know, like Kanye West. You know, it's like every few days I go on social media and it's just like, oh boy, what is Kanye doing today? Like, I love Kanye, y'all know me. It's just, there's just so much going on with this man. There's so much going on. You know, the other day I'm going through social media and then I'm finding pictures of him and his wife arguing. She's crying in the car. And, you know, Kim has been posting online like, oh, Kanye's been mentally ill. He's not feeling great right now. And da 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 da. And, you know, I like, Kanye talks and he be sounding crazy, but sometimes I feel like I understand the point he's coming from. He's just not describing it or, you know, detailing or saying anything right. Like, when he made the comments about Harriet Tubman didn't free slaves, I kind of understood what he meant. What I was hoping he meant was the fact that, you know, she did what she can to get them off the plantation, but America still has slavery enforced in other ways. That's what I'm thinking he meant to say, you know, but the man was all emotions and everything like that, and, you know, and when Kanye said, we all know that Get Out's about me, I feel like there's some truth to that, you know what I mean? Like, some part of me don't believe Kanye is mentally ill. You know, maybe he is exposing people. Maybe he is exposing the Kardashians, you know? You know, like, when, like, he brought up recently when Michael Jackson brought up the CEO of Sony Music and how he was a white supremacist and how he was doing Mariah Carey dirty and everything like that. You know, that happened. And, you know, Kanye brought it up and people were like, oh my God, where is that even coming from? Like, bro, this video, there's a legit video of Michael Jackson saying this on stage. This is around when he was dropping his Invincible album. And some people were like, oh, he was only saying that because Sony wasn't giving him any marketing dollars to promote the album. And I don't know. I don't know Tony Matala. We never crossed paths, not that I know of. But, you know, I'm just going to go with Michael's word here about what, you know, but, you know. Kanye went about how Kim cheated on him last year with Meek Mills. I don't know if that's the truth or not. I do know a picture showed up on TMZ with Kim, Meek, and somebody else at dinner, and they're like, "See, Kanye, that's not cheating." And I'm like, "Since when does TMZ tries to uphold people's relationships and try to prove to the significant other that the significant other isn't cheating?" I'm like, Did Kim pay TMZ to post this picture? Like, where the hell did this picture come from? How did it take a year for this picture to show up? Anyways, I don't care. The thing is, you know, and y'all remember that, what was it, a year ago before that, where when Kanye was talking about Drake was messing around with Kim, and everybody was like, oh, this is the song where Drake was explaining how he did it, and he was talking smash, and da 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 da. And, you know, and then, you know, Kanye was also talking about how, you know, Drake be, like, grooming women, underage women and everything like that. And, you know, like, the star of Stranger Things and everything. And I'm sitting here like, Kanye is not lying about these things. Like, this information is out there where this is true information. Not all of it. I can't say anything. I don't know anything about the whole Kim and Drake and Meek. But, you know, the story about Bobby Brown, is her name Bobby Brown? I think that's her name her name is Bobby Brown from Stranger Things and Drake. That's not, you know, hidden information. There's, you know, whole articles written on this stuff. You know what I mean? And, you know, we all know that Kris Jenner, you know, was supportive of Kim when, you know, when it was time for her to do a sex tape to try to help build her, you know, so her celebrity status, you know, and how she was giving her the push to be on Playboy. So, of course, Kanye would be like, you're not going to do to my daughter what you did with your daughter. And I can understand that. So when people are saying that, you know, that he feels that Kanye feels that Kim is grooming their daughter North to do the exact same thing that made Kim famous, you know, I can see why, like, I can see why they want to say Kanye is crazy. I kind of see why they're saying, oh, he's mentally ill. Don't listen to this man. Because if we listen to this man, then we start paying attention to the things that they don't want us to pay attention to. Like, I get it. I really, really do. Now, I don't know if Kanye really is mentally ill or not. I don't know if he's off his meds. Because they say, you know, every time he got an album coming out, that's when he gets off his meds. Because it's hard to be creative when you're on these meds, you know. But some of this stuff this feels like common sense, you know. Like, I get it why he was crying at that rally. You know, he was talking about there was a chance that he was going to kill his kid through abortion. You know, like, that says something to get emotional about, you know. And shout out to Dave Chappelle for coming all the way out there to check on Kanye, because, you know, like Dave Chappelle once said, you know, we got to stop calling these celebrities crazy. We got to stop saying people in Hollywood are crazy. It's maybe their environment is sick. You know, maybe there's something going on around their environment that's making them seem so crazy. And, you know, Kanye tweeted this recently, and I thought this was, like, something we should pay attention to. He, like, there are, you know, there's a tactic of four Ds: distract, discredit, dismiss, and destroy, you know? And I got to say, I feel like that may be what's happening with Kanye, you know? Now, granted, he went ahead and apologized to his wife, Kim Kardashian, on Twitter, talking about, I apologize to my wife, Kim, for going public with something that was a private matter, when he was talking about, he was thinking about divorcing Kim Kardashian a year before. But here's the thing. What if, you know, this was a get-out situation, and the only way Kanye can try to break free is to let the world know what he's trying to do? Like, it's like, fuck being private. They're trying to kill me, y'all. It's the movie Get Out for real. You know, like, who are we supposed to believe? You know, like, I'm just people like, oh, we can't blame the Kardashians. You always want to blame a woman for what a black man does. All right, granted, fine, that does happen. But if we're looking at the history of this family and what happens to the men when they get around this family, I'm just saying, this is not a gossip show, but I'm just saying. So, we're still in the middle of a pandemic, you know, contrary to belief, which you see outside, and people all on social media going to pool parties and going out to eat and having drinks, and we're still a pandemic, y'all. It's not over, but, you know, people still want to live their best life, living my best life. So, you know, I'm not going to go back and forth with these niggas. So, I'm just going to sit here and try to figure out how to keep you guys healthy, you know, while I keep myself healthy, because, you know, we got family to think of and, you know, the world to think of. So, here are the best 8 times to drink water during your day. Now, when you're feeling tired any time of the day, it's best to drink water because it helps recharge your system. You know, all this sugar we have, especially, you gotta think about it, we just so much sugar in the American diet. Like, this corn syrup and everything. Even just our breakfast. Like, some countries don't even have the type of, we have literal dessert for breakfast here in this country. Literal dessert. So, you know, our blood sugar goes up and down, and, you know, we get that sugar high very early, and then we crash. So a little bit of water does help recharge your system. It's also good to drink water after you wake up because it activates your internal organs. You know, your body, you know, when you wake up in the morning, your body just feels like it's just not ready yet. Like, everything is starting to catch up with you, and it takes a minute before it gets there. So, you know, it's good to have some water as soon as you wake up to activate those internal organs. You know, after you work out, it helps bring the heart rate back to normal. You know, also, it's really good to take a shower before you take it. I said before you take a shower, but before you take a shower, you should drink water. That's what I was trying to say, you know, because, you know, it helps lower blood pressure, believe it or not. You know, a half hour before a meal, drink some water because it helps with digestion. You know, before you go to bed, you know, it helps replenish any fluid loss, you know. Especially if you're feeling sick, you gotta drink water. You really gotta drink water if you think you're feeling sick, because water hydrates body for a proper function, you know? And if you're surrounded by infected or sick people, you know, drinking water don't let infection settle in the body, you know? And, you know, I get it. Water is not, like, great. It's very bland tasting stuff. I mean, you got soda, juices, this and that, you know, but water is really good for you. It's best to have water in your system because, you know, our body is mostly water. So it's like the less water we have is the less our body's functioning properly. So you want to be healthy, you know, those are the 8 best times to drink water: after you wake up, after a workout, half an hour before a meal, before taking a bath, before going to bed, when you're feeling sick, when you're feeling tired, and if you're surrounded by sick people. Those are the times to drink water. And you're supposed to drink water 8 times a day. So, you know, I just gave you 8 different moments where you feel like you should be drinking water. It's an interesting time in America. You know, we watching protests here and there. I don't know if you guys are paying attention to social media, because all the protest action is on social media. You know, the revolution will not be televised. Gil was not lying when he said that. He was not lying. They stopped putting this stuff on the news, like, 2 months ago. This stuff is still going on a daily. The protest has not stopped. I've seen footage of people who were by themselves protesting. And this one guy, right, he was a white guy. He went to a small town, a small racist town. And he just stood there with the Black Lives Matter sign. And, you know, you guys know how I feel about Black Lives Matter. I support the phrase. I don't know much about that organization, but I support the phrase. Because the phrase was true yesterday, it's true today, and will be true tomorrow. Black Lives Matter, you know. Now, what's going on with that organization, where they're doing all that money, I don't know nothing about. So I'm not going to sit here and vouch for the organization and say, yeah, guys, we all should donate money towards them. You know, you make up your own mind where you guys want to donate your money. But, you know, with all these protesting going on, you know, police still brutalizing people, and now that's, you know, unmarked vans is pulling up and grabbing people and throwing them in and driving off. You know, it's a weird time right now, you know, and I question the people in government sometimes because, you know, they won't ban certain things. You know, they won't get rid of the KKK, but Black Lives Matter is the problem, you know. They won't get rid of crooked police. They won't arrest the guys who killed Breonna Taylor, but TikTok can be banned. Now, I get what the problem is with TikTok. You know, my big issue with TikTok, what made me stop posting stuff on TikTok was when I saw that they were, like, censoring people who made posts on the Black Lives Matter, and I was like, oh, I can't support that, you know. But the argument people are making now is like, oh, they're taking your information and they're sharing it with China. And, you know, I'm looking at it like, this was the same argument they had with the face app, when, you know, that everybody was making their face old, it was like the old challenge or whatever. You know, that's what helped me create the whole identity of Old Man Miles, my character. You know, it's just, majority of the apps we use are taking data. It's not just China. I'm just saying, I'm not saying that's a reason to keep using these apps or anything like that. I'm just saying, if we're going to use that argument, we should really pay attention to all the apps that's collecting data. Even the basic ones. Even regular old Google and YouTube. You don't think they're collecting data off of that? When you go on the internet, all the cookies that's keeping on. You think randomly that you show up on the internet and these ads pop up for stuff you already been thinking about buying? You think that's a coincidence? No, they've been collecting data. They can kind of figure out what's going to be your next move, what's going to be your next purchase. So everybody collecting data so they can basically have a digital version of you and figure out, all right, this is what we got to do to maintain this digital version of the actual human being. And, you know, this, you know, we're really early into this type of life. You know, granted, we grew up some of us grew up in the world of MySpace, and, you know, there's definitely a whole bunch of people that was born before that era of social media, you know, so this collecting data is still very brand new. And, you know, we can't let our guards down with, you know, just accepting, like, all right, this is the future, everybody using apps now. You know, we should pay attention to how our data is being collected. I know a lot of people, you know, even myself at one point was thinking, why does it matter if they're collecting data? You know, because, you know, probably supposed to help me in the long run. You know, I'm also a conspiracy theorist to a T. You know, I remember watching Minority Report, and I'm just like, damn, if they have your information, they know what you like, what you do. You literally can't do nothing you've ever done before. You have to live a whole new life, being a whole new person, can't listen to the same music you listen to no more, can't eat the same stuff you eat no more, can't visit the same place you visit no more. You will literally have to be someone new completely from that moment on. Your whole life will have to be gone. And if you're somewhere where they have your favorite stuff, you have to walk the opposite direction because, it's, you know, their data is out there that shows so-and-so loves this. So-and-so loves to eat this. So-and-so loves to dress this clothes, you know, so all this data collection, it can definitely bite us in the long run, I do believe. And, you know, with all this facial recognition software that they're putting out there now, it apparently it's working. They was able to grab that girl up and throw her in a van based off footage from another security camera. Because apparently she spray paint a camera or something. So they were just like, all right, we're going to find her. And they found her and they grabbed her. So if y'all don't want to be grabbed and thrown into an unmarked van, I you might want to be more cautious about your data and also your face on camera, I guess. You know, that's where we're getting. That is where we're getting. Like I say, guys, I want to keep talking about health, keep you guys in shape, keep you guys, you know, moving forward, you know, because, you know, we got to be healthy out here. And one thing I've noticed a difference since I've been, like, paying attention to my diet, you know, I started paying attention to food that creates mucus, because mucus really do make us sick. And I realized when I started focusing on stuff that detox mucus, how much less mucus I had. You know, when I started cutting back on butter, bread, you know, gluten, you know, fried foods, dairy products, fast food, GMO food, sugar, pesticide. That's when I had the most mucus, like nonstop mucus. And it's recently when I've been cutting back on those things, and I didn't really notice it until I recently got me a hamburger, and the mucus started coming back. I thought, oh, let me go back to what I was doing. You know, when I had to start taking, you know, more seeded melons, more key limes, you know, mangoes, onions, you know, the purple onions to be specific, you know, leafy greens, oranges, ginger, walnuts. That's when I realized how my body started improving, you know. So, you know, if you're not the person who's the type to eat a lot of fruits and veggies, definitely try to drink it. That's how I got myself into this. You know, I started getting myself a lot more cold-pressed juices. You know, I try to stop going for, like, Pepsi or Cokes or Arizonas and stuff like that. Like, if I get myself a Coca-Cola, it's a treat. And I may not even finish the whole bottle. I may save it for the rest of the week. Like, I'll just have that. I'll have a few sips on Monday, then I'll probably have the rest of the sip on Friday. You know, like, it's a treat. That's not a daily beverage anymore to too much. You know, and I think that's where we have to start looking at things. Like, we have to, you know, make small changes on in our daily behaviors to, you know, make the whole body, you know, rejuvenate itself and become something better. You know, we can't keep killing ourselves like this. Anywho, you know, I saw a very interesting documentary this week called Inmate Number One, which is about Danny Trejo. Danny Trejo, you may have seen in films like Desperado, Con Air, Heat, you know, or one of my favorite Robert Rodriguez movies, Machete. And I was just truly amazed with this man's story. You know, he really had the real underdog story, you know. And I saw the trailer for this documentary through Facebook ads, but I was in no rush to get it. It wasn't only until I heard an interview with Danny Trejo with Nick Cannon on Nick Cannon's Cannon Class. You know, I listen to Nick Cannon's podcast, and, you know, recently Nick Cannon's podcast literally just disappeared overnight. All his stuff just disappeared. So I've been paying attention to see, you know, if he's going to put back any of the episodes that I wanted to listen to that I didn't listen to. And randomly, the Danny Trejo episode came up, and I thought, oh, cool, let me listen to this episode. And listening to this man talk about his life, you know, his experience, I was just in awe. Like, Danny doesn't come off as one of those Hollywood actors that look tough. He is the real deal. But, man, when you hear his story, like, this man is the real deal. Like, he been through it. He's seen it. Like, this guy is not the traditional Hollywood. The fact that he's even where he is today is a miracle. You know, it's just amazing. And I always think about this a lot, you know, because with those people in the worst situations that have the hardest time to make, you know, to realize the opportunity that come their way or the way that they can do good for other people and make differences in their lives. And, you know, it's amazing because Danny Trejo, like, when I look, I'm telling you, he was in the rough part of the city. This man was doing heroin at, like, 12 years old. I'm telling you, if you're doing any type of drug, if you're doing heroin at 12, bruh, that's some heavy shit right there. That's heavy. Heavy. And, you know, he went to jail. You know, he committed crimes. There was a chance that he could have got the death penalty for almost killing a CEO, correction officer, but he got lucky enough that blessed, because he prayed before this and God was listening. And basically, you know, he was basically like, you know, I'll praise your name every day if you get me out of the situation. And the man just could not remember who threw a rock at him. You know, that would have been an assault on a CEO. And, you know, this man got himself in rehab, became a drug counselor for years before he even got on camera, you know. And he only got on camera because one of the person that he was trying to help, who was about to relapse, was on a film set. And then while he was on that film set, they were like, hey, you know, you want to be an extra? And then, you know, fast forward a couple decades later, here we are. And, you know, Danny is an action superstar in his own right. You know what I mean? So definitely check out Inmate Number One, because I feel like that was just very, very important to me to see, because, you know, a lot of times people use, you know, their past or their current environment as an excuse not to try to get their lives better. And I feel like this documentary was, you know, it's a good example of, you know, it's never too late to change. It's never too late. Before we go, I do want to talk about, you know, putting some money in our pockets, because things are about to get crazy. You know what I mean? You know, they just cut the unemployment from $600 down to the regular $4, I think it was. You know, I spoke to people, a couple, entrepreneurs who have employees, and let me tell y'all something now. everybody who's trying to get over on the unemployment and these people are offering you work, that, you know, they can see you applying for unemployment. It comes out of their pockets. And if you think they're not telling the unemployment office that they're offering you work and you're denying it, I'm telling you, they're coming back for that money. Just know they're coming back for that money. So, you know, people, I want you guys to, you know, use your mindset differently. Because a lot of times I see a lot of people over here, they literally fraud, getting, you know, just basically frauding the system. You know, like, these people are out here that's collecting unemployment checks. There's people out here who's collecting, you know, business loans, and they're spending it on everything else but where it needs to go. It's not going to rent. It's not going to food. It's not going to helping their employees or paying for their employees' unemployment. It's going all the wrong places, you know. So I need you guys to change your money mindset, you know. And once you figure out, you know, your money mindset, I want you to start paying attention and investing into stocks, you know, doing some group real estate, getting some friends together and like, yo, let's go half on a building. You know, let's all four of us go on half on a building. Well, it wouldn't be half because it'd be four of you. You know what I mean? You know, you can focus on starting a biz, you know, focus on skills and education. You guys know me. I'm always buying new courses and books. Those are super important to me. You know, actually accumulating, you know, money for your life insurance. You know, you focus on your mental health, your physical health. You know, like, and people always say, like, oh, it's so hard to even, you know, be an entrepreneur with no money. But I'm like, I don't know about that, because there's people out here with sponsorship on Instagram. They're selling ad space on their blog, and you can make a blog about anything. As long as you got a niche, travel, food, this, that, people will follow, you know, do drop shipping, do affiliate marketing, sell ebooks and courses, you know, have a YouTube page. And now, granted, you do need a certain amount of followers to get paid off of YouTube. But, you know, every 1,000 views is like $7. So, you know, you got 10,000 views, that's $70. 100,000 views, that's $700. You know, you get, yeah, any higher than that, it just keeps going. It's going and going and going, you know. Because the average CPM on YouTube is $7. But, you know, all you, like, to make $10,000 a month, you literally just need to make $333 a day. Now some people are like, oh, that's all I have to do is make $333 a day. That sounds like nothing. You know, it does require work. But, you know, if social media provides us with unlimited range of opportunities, you know, you could, like I said, affiliate marketing, digital products, make your own e-commerce store, you know, IG shoutouts, creating a marketing agency, you know, creating content for other people, freelancing, you know, there's ways out here to make a dollar, you know. Yeah, you know, like the ebooks, right? Let's say you made an ebook. It's like you sell it for $20. If you make 5 sales a day for a $20 ebook, that's $3,000 a month. Now make 15 sales a day, that's $100K a year. You know, it's simpler than you think. The only problem is none of us are taking action. So take action, you know, and don't think about just you, but also think about your kids, you know. Set the foundation right for them, you know, helping them understand what life insurance is, stock investing, asset accumulation, you know, teach them how to build a business, you know, teach them about trust funds or wills, you know, saving with the 3-jar system, you know, teaching them about ownership, good credit, you know, teaching them about how money works, because those are things they're going to need more in the future, you know, teaching them about real estate, credit, getting an LLC, taxes, you know, even self-love. You know, I feel like we don't even talk enough about when it comes to teaching the future. You know, these are the things that we got to focus on, guys. Well, that was this episode of Mackie with Miles. I hope you guys learned a thing or two. I'll see you guys in the same place, same time next week. Much love. God bless. 2 Peas and Chicken Grease. I'll see you later.